Remember what the word Zechariah means? Does anyone remember from last week? The father of John the Baptist. It means that God, the Yah on the end of his name, Zechariah, the Yah on the end means God, is renowned upon the earth. In other words, he's going to make a name for himself, not for the church, but for the world. The church today doesn't have a big impact on the world. But in those days, though it had been silent for 400 years, all of a sudden, God said, according to the promises that he'd made, I am now going to do something to show the world and make an impact on the world. So the world rulers, Caesar, everybody, would suddenly know that the church was God's greatest work. And in our own day, that still is the case, that he wants to use his church to make an impact on this world. The church does not exist for itself. It exists actually to bless this world. And God is using his people to bless the world. Now, the fact that we haven't done that, the fact that we've only partially done that, means that God still is holding in reserve something special. So the first thing he did was with John the Baptist. Zechariah means God will make a name for himself again. He'll become renowned in the world. The whole world will know about what's happening in Israel. His mother, Elizabeth, who's now 6 months into pregnancy, her name also has in it God, but it's Eli, like the creator of the world. And so her name, Elizabeth, Beth means house, Eli means God, and in the middle is the little S-A or Z-A, Z-A, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. That S-A or that Z-A means God has sworn with his right hand to his house that what he said he would do, he will do. So Elizabeth means that God keeps covenant. He cannot lie. He cannot say something and then not do it. We say many things that we don't do. God cannot. If God says he'll do something, even if it takes 6,000 years, he'll do it. In heaven, there's no time. But on earth, everything has its perfect timing. And God knows ahead of time how everything's going to happen, what we're going to think, what we're going to say, what we're going to do. And he introduced Jesus at just the right moment. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, oh, Gabriel, by the way, Gibor in Hebrew means mighty or strong. And El on the end is the name for God again. So God is strong, powerful. Whatever he said he will do. And now he's about to do it. So Gabriel is the angel that is sent to Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. And now he comes again, visits again, 6 months later. John the Baptist will be Jesus's relative, cousin, kinfolk, somehow related. And he's 6 months older, so the gospel does not start with Jesus. It actually starts with John the Baptist. There's always a 3-year ministry of Jesus, and 6 months prior to that, John the Baptist, until he's killed. So Jesus doesn't begin his portion until John is finished. So the good news, the gospel, starts with John. Remember what John said? Repent, change your mind, because the kingdom of God's at hand. I'm about to do something wonderful. What was he about to do? He was about to change something that men thought that they had to do right in order to be on the right side of God. And he was about to come and say, I've changed my mind on that. I no longer want you to think that. I want you to know that I never intended for you to be good. I never intended for you to be smart. I never intended for you to be strong. I always intended that I would do that. I would be your strength. I would be your goodness. And I would be your wisdom. I will do all of that for you. Just relax. So Christmas is a time when we learn that God, with his left hand, how he made the world, would now redeem it with his right hand and say, what you didn't do, I have forgiven and forgotten. Now, what you didn't do, I not only have forgiven and forgotten it, I will do it for you, then I will do it in you, and then I will do it through you so that you know that there's no other God. You will know I'm the only God that can take you as you are, love you as you are, forgive you as you are, and then do everything and give you a free gift. There'll be no charge. Christmas is a time of giving. It's a time of gift. It's not a time of reward to pay people for how good they are. Now, you've heard in the song Santa Claus that Santa Claus is coming to town. He's going to find out, you know, who's naughty and nice. Well, God doesn't do it that way. God does it totally the opposite. He doesn't give gifts to children that are nice. He doesn't care. He's not making a list. He's not checking it twice. God says, I want all men. I mean, there's no exceptions. I want all men to come and to have this knowledge of me, that what I did in making the world, I have now redeemed by sending my son. Whatever the world did wrong, Jesus will die for that. And whatever goes right in the world, Jesus will actually do that too through the Holy Spirit. So I didn't want you to do anything. Just relax. Don't feel guilty anymore. How many here have felt guilty at some point in your life over something you didn't do or did do? So guilt is normal to the human condition, and that's why God, and everyone is guilty. Everyone has fallen short or has failed to do something they were supposed to do. But God has changed all that, and when the angel came to Mary, he's telling her, the son, the child that's going to be born in you, is the promised child that Isaiah prophesied, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And in that moment, Mary was about to conceive and bear a son. But you had to hear the word first. It was a miracle. It was something that never had been done before. Virgins don't have sons and then still remain virgins. But she would, because this was God's doing. And so God spoke the word to her and said, you know, Mary, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to bear the Son of God. Now, you don't know it, but your kinswoman, Elizabeth, is already 6 months ahead of you. And this is her sixth month. And wow, Mary didn't know anything about that, and Elizabeth didn't know anything about Mary. All Elizabeth knew was that her son was going to be the herald of the Most High. He was going to somehow introduce him and say for 6 months, behold the Lamb of God that comes and takes away the sins of the world. And he was going to say, one is coming after me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. I must decrease, he must increase. And he's the one that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John had this special ministry, and he didn't even know who it was that he was introducing. But all of a sudden, 6 months later, Gabriel shows up at Mary's house in Nazareth, up in the Galilee. Now, the Galilee is a warm, beautiful region, and this little town of Bethlehem and everything south is called Judah. So you have to go to Jerusalem, which is quite a journey from Nazareth, especially if you walk. They mentioned that maybe they had a chariot, but they didn't. There was no chariot, and they certainly didn't have bus tickets or airplanes or anything else. You had to walk almost everywhere, and people did walk. And so the angel, of course, doesn't walk. The angels, they don't have to walk. So they're able to come and share something, and so these was announcing to the world, very similar to our own day. People today are kind of curious as what's going to happen. What are we falling apart, or is there, you know, hope for something better? People really don't know, and there's a lot of uncertainty today. But he gave this word that's very certain, because you are never to be uncertain. You are always to know what, you know, why you're here, where you came from, where you're going, and exactly what time it is. You need to know that God is about to return and come back, this time not as a baby, but this time as a grown man and as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords to set up his kingdom. Now, you're already the head start of his kingdom. You, everyone here, is, by faith, part of God's kingdom. And you did exactly what Mary did that first day, because this was the first time when the Messiah would be known who he is. Everyone knew there was one, but they didn't know who he was. And this day, she would find out that she would be the mother of the Lord. She would be the Lord's mother. And when she went and visited Elizabeth, Elizabeth would tell her that. You're the mother of my Lord. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. You have a baby inside of you. She was only like 3 days pregnant at that point. But Elizabeth knew by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are the mother of my Lord, and you are filled with this glorious treasure to earth. God has given us a gift that will forgive all of our sins, transform everybody's life who wants to, and you know, it'll be a wonderful celebration. So Mary's listening to all this, and she's trying to figure out, well, I haven't even been with a man. How can this be? He said, well, it'll happen because the the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the Father will therefore bring forth this child, which will be a miracle. And without thought, without, she knew she didn't even understand that. She was a young girl. She had no comprehension, except she knew the scriptures that said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. She knew that somehow unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, government will be upon his shoulder, he'll be a king of some sort. She wasn't clear about how the killing him was related to him ruling. She just knew that somehow it was all going to happen, and so she just pondered those things in her heart. So when the angel came and announced to her all these things, Mary said these words, "Let it be to me as you have said." Whatever you just said, the words that you just spoke, let that be to me. I believe all of it, and I receive it. And I understand that I'm going to go through some suffering because of it, but I'm willing to do that. Now, Joseph, the first thing Joseph did was say, I don't believe you. And so Joseph, when he heard her story about, I am pregnant, but, however, this is from the Holy Spirit. It's not from, you know, something that I've done wrong. He didn't believe that. And so he decided, well, I don't want to have you stoned publicly, so I'm just going to kind of send you away. And I know you're a nice person, but you've done something wrong, and I don't believe that part about the Holy Spirit. But it could be, of course, but I don't think I saw. And so Mary then, she has to go and visit her relative who's 6 months pregnant, and she realizes, I can't go tonight. I've got, Gabriel, if you're still in the neighborhood right now, could you kind of wake up Joseph tonight and tell him what you just told me? It'd be helpful. And so that night, Gabriel came to Joseph while he was sleeping and woke him up and said that what Mary told you, what she announced to you that the angel told to her, me, that's true. And for some reason, Joseph believed. And he took her to his wife, and then the next morning, she went off and went down to visit her kinswoman. And as we know, that nothing is impossible with God. The fact that you're a sinner doesn't mean God can't turn you into a saint. The fact that you're a harlot doesn't mean God can't turn you into a virgin. The fact that you are dead does not mean God cannot make you alive. In other words, God can do what we can't do. He can do anything. If you've been a sinner, you can become a saint. And the reason you do it is just simply the same way Mary did. Let it be to me according to your promise. Now remember, Elizabeth means if God gives a promise, he cannot lie. If he raises his right hand and said, this is what I'm going to do, he can't say later, I changed my mind. God, if God ever tells you that he loves you, he can never change your mind. Now, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That's something Jesus said. He said that in his ministry when he was 30 years old. First thing he said when he started his ministry was, I want you to know who you are. Here's who you are. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, then it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot of men. Now, what is savor then? We need to know what savor is. Well, it comes from a Greek word. The Greek word means foolish. You are that which, once sown into the world, your wisdom will show the world how foolish it is. In other words, the church is not to be salt to the church. We're not showing the foolishness of the church. The church is to be salt to the world. When they see the way we live and the things we say and do, then they will know God is with you. And they will see their foolishness. They will see how vain they've lived, and they'll be convicted. Well, the church is doing that, but not in fullness yet. In other words, the world isn't yet calling us up. And I'm talking not only about the average person in the world, but even about the rulers of this world. Today, the rulers of this world are not calling up the church and saying, you know, I've seen by your lives what we ought to be, and I see how foolish we've been. The world is not convicted, which means God isn't finished. And he also said, you are the light of the world. A light that's a city set on a hill cannot be hid. It's because in those days, they farmed in the valleys, and they put their cities up on the hill so you could see where the houses were and so on, and they were kept from flooding and a lot of other problems. But he said, men don't light a lamp and then put it under a bushel. You know, so you light the lamp, and then you put a bushel over it so no one can see. He said, nobody does that. That's foolish. But they light a lamp, put it on a lampstand so it's lifted up, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And so what he's saying is the church should be the light that this world, when they see it, would say, we're in darkness. When they would see our salt, they would say, we're foolish. I see now that I've lived my life wrong. Now, if you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus, that's not salt or light. If you're a Christian and you are being discipled and you're getting the sin out of your life, it's still not salt and light. But if you are a Christian who's dead to this world, in other words, you're completely in love with Jesus, and you are living in such a way that the world can see it, they are convicted immediately, we've been living wrong. Seeing your children, seeing your lives, seeing the way you are at work, seeing the way you do in your home, you're different than we are. You, when someone hurts you, you forgive. When things go bad in your life, you laugh and rejoice. You're never worried. You're not afraid. You have joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is how we know that we've been wrong. This is how we know that our political systems, our economic systems, and our social systems are completely wrong, deficient. Today, the world doesn't know that. Politicians try to solve political problems and they can't. Economists try to solve economic problems and they can't. There's no way, no possibility that society today can ever get together. It's impossible. No matter how much men try to put themselves together, because they have no salt and they have no light, because we are the salt of this earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, it's thrown out. In other words, if the church isn't the real church, not just believing in Jesus, not just being discipled, but actually walking in love, being led of the Spirit, so that our worship to God, our love to one another, and our testimony in this world is so bright that people see the difference. Now, what God is saying is the church is not the church unless it's the church for the world. In other words, we're not giving light to each other. It isn't lifted up so that we all have light and everybody else is in the darkness. It's actually that our light should show shine in this world, that when men see our good works, they will give glory to the Father. In other words, the world is what God is after, not us. He has called us out of the world in order to completely change us and transform us, first by faith, forgiving us, and second by you not doing anything, please don't help, by God doing all the changing. So that if you change, you're not becoming loving because you're naturally loving. You're not naturally loving. Could I hear an amen? You're not naturally loving. You're not naturally light and salt. You're not naturally helpful for other people. You're naturally selfish. You're naturally always defending yourself, explaining yourself, and criticizing others, and so on. You're naturally then not what God wants, but He calls you out of the world to transform you, not to punish you, to transform you so that you are ready to be the light and the salt of this world. Then He sends you back. Now, today, we are to enter into the world in such a way that when we leave this building, we've gathered together unto Him to get all of our sins out of our lives, because if you have sins, you're not going to have time to love somebody else because you're still taking care of yourself. But if God takes care of everything, if the gift that was given is total and complete, if the child that was sent is everything you need to forgive you and then to change you and then to help you, then you are the light and you are the salt of this earth. So what He wants from the church, and most churches, by the way, don't preach what I just preached. They don't say what I just said, even though it's in the Scripture. They believe that's impossible. Like you could try maybe to be a good person, but you couldn't actually be one. That's for heaven, and it's not for here. I don't believe that. I believe that God actually wants us to be heaven on earth. That our families, when we come together at Christmas time, we instead of arguing with one another and criticizing people, and I hope Ethel doesn't come, and why does Bill always have to bring out the Bible? Instead of all of that happening, who's right and who's wrong? Well, you shouldn't be here, and so on. We should love one another for no reason at all. No reason at all, other than the fact that Jesus Christ came and loved us. He just came, and it wasn't related to our behavior. It wasn't because we deserved it. It wasn't because we qualified. It wasn't because we were good and decent, and or we might have been, or we're potentially good people. None of that. He knew that you would never be potentially anything. And He just simply came and gave you as a free gift something you didn't deserve, a gift. No matter how it's wrapped, no matter how it's wrapped, Jesus did not look like God. He just came wrapped like us. He looked just like us. Sometimes good gifts are wrapped in funny, paper. And if you go by the wrapping, you might miss some of the greatest gifts in this life are wrapped in newspaper or paper bags or no wrapping hardly at all. And that is not a problem for God. He deliberately sent Jesus into the world knowing he would not look like what he said he was. So the whole question then is Elizabeth, who says, her name says, God cannot lie. What he has sworn, he will do. He can't say something and then not do it. If he does, he's not a God at all. He's a devil. He cannot make a promise and then not keep it. He has sworn that I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's also sworn that the good work he began in you, if you're a believer, I will, he doesn't say you will, I will surely complete. So don't try to make yourself mature or grown up or spiritual or light or salt. You don't have to work at it. It's who you are if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. So what he was telling Mary, when she heard it, she realized, I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, I'm kind of lowly. Am I really going to be the one who brings God's Son into the world? That's pretty cool. And so without a lot of thought, because she couldn't think it through, how many of you can't think those kind of things through? Let's see, there was going to be one lady that had this baby, me. It's like, how come me? You know, who am I? And so even her background, which was in the house of David, even David's royal city had gotten down to nothing. The little town of Bethlehem had no walls around it. It wasn't a royal city. It just produced some sheep for the temple to be sacrificed. All that city was no longer a king city, a royal city. It was just simply a little burg outside of Jerusalem, which supplied sheep for the slaughter. That's why Jesus was born there. Jesus is the sheep for the slaughter. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, the very thing that John said. John was introducing Jesus as the one, you see this one right here? This is the one that has come into the world to take away all your sins. Don't worry about your sins. He's taken them away. He's not only forgiven them, he's not only forgotten them, he'll actually remove them so that even you know, I'm no longer a sinner. I'm now a saint. How do you earn it? You don't. How do you get it? You just hear. If you hear and you believe, you hear and you believe. If you hear and you don't believe, he'll just say it again until you hear it some more. And then if you still don't believe, he'll just say it again until you're dead. And if you don't ever believe, he can't force you. And he won't force you. He just simply says the good news. And little kids have no trouble. Little kids just get up there and they just do whatever. And they're not trying to do anything. They don't even know what they're doing. Usually picking their nose or whatever. And they don't even know what they're doing up there. Just, you know, dressing up this way. And they just think it's cute and funny. And they're not trying to behave themselves. They're not attempting to please anybody. Though they like showing off. They don't really, you don't know what they're doing because they're not doing it for any reason. They're just happy that God loves them. And they're just celebrating that. They just think it's fun to be alive. They just think it's a wonderful world. They don't know about murders and, you know, all the bad things that go on in the world. You don't need to know about all that to know that God loves you. God loves you. It's a simple story about Jesus came in such a horrible condition and he liked it. He wanted to come and be visited by shepherds because normally shepherds didn't attend gala events. And then so God, you know, took a few million angels and said, go down and sing to those guys. They've never been to a concert, I don't think. And shepherds couldn't even go to court. They were in such a low position. People that kept sheep at night, first of all, didn't sleep too well because they're keeping smelly sheep at night. And so it was the worst thing you could be besides a house slave. So house slaves and shepherds, they couldn't go to court. And so they had no value. And if they would go and tell somebody, we saw this, and they go, yeah, you guys are shepherds. I mean, so you have no value in what you say. No one believes you. Because, you know, you're on something or whatever. So shepherds had zero capacity. And that's why God uses women so that they had a bad rap because of Eve. And he uses women to bring forth the glory of God. Elizabeth, Mary, and others to vindicate Eve. To say, don't think that women are second. You misunderstand. In Christ, there's no male or female. All are equal. All are equally valuable in my sight. Male, female, young, old, smart, dumb, skinny, fat, those things mean nothing to God. In God's sight, there is no differences among us. In our sight, we make a big deal out of differences. And so Christmas is a time when God just simply cuts through all of the things of men and says, I want you to tell you about another kingdom that you've never seen before, or you've heard about it, but you've never seen it. I am now about to introduce it. Mary, you'll be the first. And so Mary said, let it be to me. Now here's how she closed. Let it be to me as you have spoken. Exactly the words that you said. Let me be the one that bears the Son and brings forth God's Son on the earth and all the troubles that go with it. I'll take that. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Now a handmaid, and the Greek word for that is doulos, which means slave. I am the slave of the Lord, or the servant of the Lord. I am ready to do anything you say. I realize I was foolish up until this moment. I never thought I'd be the one that would bring forth God's Son, but I was wrong. And that's what the world needs to know, is they're wrong. And when they see you telling them about the Lord, they'll know that they were wrong, because they'll realize, well, if God could use you, he could probably use anybody. If you could bring forth Jesus, if you could bear Jesus to this world, if you, like Mary, could say, let it be to me. I want to be the salt and the light of this. I don't want to say my words anymore. I don't want to do my deeds anymore. I don't want to think my thoughts. I don't want to will my will. I just want to do whatever you say, God. That's all Mary said. She was a young girl, had her whole life ahead of her, and now it'd be ruined. First of all, she'd be called funny names because of having a child and then claiming it was from God when, you know, couldn't prove it. And then Joseph, her own husband, was going to take off. And then Herod would try to kill the child when it was born, and on and on and on. She was going to have so many pains, and then to see her son killed just at the height of his, when he finally became a man, started his ministry, all of a sudden they killed him. So she would have pain after pain after pain, but she said, let it be to me. Let what you just said, let that be to me. I am the handmaid of the Lord. In other words, I am his trustee. I will not think my thoughts, say my words, do my deeds. I'll do whatever you say. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. So this thing of repenting of your own ideas, of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and the word that was just spoken to you, on submitting to God as your Lord, not just your Savior, but also your Lord, and then obeying and conforming your life completely to what God wants for you, does not seem to be a happy thing. It doesn't. Most of us are selfish. We like being selfish, or we say we feel bad about it, but we don't change. We say, you know, I wish I were better. I probably should be. I ought to be. I could be, I guess, but I don't want to be. Well, guess what? You don't want to be. You know why? Because you're not. And you're never going to be a good person. Ever, ever, ever. So what would be good was to let Jesus not only forgive you for that, but let him become your life, so that when you stand before God someday in the court and he said, Jim, how do you plead? You will say, innocent. And he'll say, based on what? Because he's reading my book. He's reading my life. You're reading the wrong book, I'll say, sir. You're reading the book of the law, where you have to behave and you're not supposed to do bad stuff. Don't read that book. Read the other book, the Lamb's Book of Life, where all you do is believe that Jesus Christ came on the earth to give us good gifts. And I don't deserve them, never did. I never did anything good. I always did everything bad. But you have to listen to what your son said. He said, I came to forgive you, then I came to change you and transform you. And if it isn't, if I'm not perfected right now, don't blame me, blame Jesus. Because he said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. He also said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He made so many promises. Sir, you really need to pay attention to what Jesus promised. Maybe he went way beyond you, but no, he said, no, actually, you're right, Jim. You're going to marry my son in a few minutes. I'll be at the wedding soonest. So you go to my right hand. And so Jesus is not going to bring us into heaven because we did anything. It's because he did something. It's not because we were good, it's because he was good. It's not because we were wise, it's because he is wise. It's not because we are strong, it's because he is strong. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You cannot get beyond that. Nobody has ever gotten further than that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's the end of it. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Nobody here should be stronger than you are. Let God be your strength. Nobody here should be smarter than you are. Nobody here should be stronger than you are. Never defend yourself. Never waste time attacking someone else. They won't accept it anyway. You cannot please anybody. If you ever tried to please somebody, it doesn't work. When you do a lot for people, they usually turn on you. No matter what you do, it's not going to work. So just let Jesus do it. That's why the kingdom came. The kingdom came to relieve you of all duties. Take away all the law. You cannot keep the law of God. You cannot be perfect. You cannot do anything perfectly. So Jesus, who is perfect, came down and perfectly forgave you. And when he makes a promise, he can't lie. He's making a name for himself, not because we're good, but because he's good. Not because we're holy, but because he's holy. Not because we're perfect, but because he's perfect. Not because you are strong, he's strong. You're not wise, he's wise. And that is what the world doesn't expect to see. They believe, after seeing the church for 2,000 years, that not much is going to happen. They believe the church may have done a few things that were right over the years, but basically the world today does not believe we're useful to them. Are you all aware of that? I mean, we're not talking about the church, and you know, we fool each other into thinking we're wonderful. But God knows you are not the salt and the light that this world could say. Without your salt, without your saltiness, without that savor, we would have perished. We need you. Thank you. The world is not saying that today because we are not what we ought to be. Now, here's how you get to be what you ought to be. It's so simple. Jesus Christ made a promise. I'll do it. All you have to do is believe. Let it be to me as you have said. And you can today not try, not work at it, not imagine there's anything you may have to do. There's nothing you can do, nothing you need to do. I love these little children because they just get up and they have no idea, you know, what they're supposed to do or whatever, just what they've been told, and they just do it, and it's simple. They didn't make the costume. They didn't say the words. They didn't make up the music. You know, they just get up there and do it, whatever they do. And it's wonderful. It's so easy for them. They like it, especially Scout. She obviously liked it. You know, it's great, you know, because there's no effort or energy on their part. It's fun to do that kind of stuff. It's all just play. That is the way we ought to be. We ought to be like little children. Except you enter the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall not enter therein. In other words, if you're a laborer, if you're a worker, if you're a serious person, you're not going to make it. This kingdom is only for losers. This kingdom is only for people that cannot make it. This is a kingdom for failures. This is a kingdom for people who don't have a high view of themselves. If you look closely at all families, they all have problems. And God doesn't, you know, God's not going to take those away. God, remove these problems, you know, get my kids off of this or change my husband or get my wife to do it. No, it's not going to do it. He's going to leave all that. Why? Because he wants you just to relax. Take the gift. Don't relate it to what you've said and done or anybody else has said and done. Just love one another right now. Why? Because he made a way for you to do that. How? Through him. You can't do it, but he's already done it. And he just wants to have you do what Mary did. Let it be to me. As you have said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Now, all of us are handmaids of the Lord. All of us, all of us. You are just simply a servant, a steward, you're not going to say your own words. Why? Because they don't go anywhere. Have you ever tried to convince someone of something? It doesn't work. People really aren't that impressed with you. I mean, we are. You know, I thought what I said was really good. But people aren't impressed because they're into themselves. They're into their own thoughts. And like, would you be quiet so I can talk now? You know, and all they want to do is have their say. So we just waste time. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. And that foolishness needs to be seen by a church that doesn't believe in the future, but believes in the present. Today you are the light of the world. Now, if you believe, then you will see. Not if you work at it, but just if you believe that God can't lie. If he said you're a new creation, then you're a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. If he says it, then that's it. And I believe it. I believe I am a new creation. I believe you are. If you're just simply believing what God has said. So, is there anyone here? Don't pay attention to all those people moving around. Is there anyone here who understood today that God is talking about you as a light to this world, as salt, so that when men see your good works, they'll know it wasn't you. They'll know it was God. They'll know that was Jesus. They'll know that was the gift that was given 2,000 years ago. Anyone like to testify of that? Pastor, that's me. I am the salt. I'm part of the salt of this earth, and I haven't lost my savor because Jesus Christ is inside of me to do all those things, and I believe I will do those things because of the Lord. I submit to that. I believe in that. I'm going to walk in that because I'm happy. I will never be miserable again. I'll be happy for the rest of my life. He does it all. All he's ever wanted is for you to fail so he can just give you a free gift. He never wanted you to succeed. He never wanted you to be anything. He just likes you the way you are. Doesn't want you to earn it. He's not checking a list twice. He's not doing any of that. He just simply loves you. And it's over. And when you believe that, you're not just then sitting there. He is then going to work out and finish what he promised. You just have to believe that God can't lie. You don't need any help or any training or anything. You can love people right now with all your heart. You can love people right now. You can just say to the person next to you, I love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. You can say it. I mean, say it. Go ahead and say it. Just say it to anybody. I love you with all my heart. That's good. So the Christmas story, the one the children just sang about, is so easy because there's nothing you do. You don't have to do it. I know a lot of people hate this message because they want to do something to prove how great they are. But the truth is, there's nothing you can do. Not only can you not do it, Jesus Christ has already done it, and it was perfect, and you can't add to perfect and make it more. Perfect is perfect. When something is perfect, it's perfect. And you can't then add. The only thing you could add is a scratch. The only thing you can do is mar it up and put your fingerprint on it. But you can't add to it. So the best has been saved to the last, which is where we come in. Did you know that God has saved us to the last? Do you know that the world's about to end? I don't know if you're aware of that. You don't have to be, but I'm just telling you. It's about to end, and it will end not, you know, with a whimper. It's going to end in a glorious way. All the troubles you see today, all the problems you see today, those are only due to the fact that the church isn't the church. And as soon as the church becomes the church, as soon as the church decides, you know, I don't know what I was working for. Jesus Christ has done it all. I just need to enter into his finished work. I just need to know that I'm complete in him. I've never believed that God loved me that much. I've never really understood that he not only wanted to save me, but then he wanted to sanctify me, then he wanted to glorify me. And I never understood all that. But you don't have to understand it. You just need to hear it and believe it and be like Mary. If I don't understand everything, just let it be to me. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Who else wants to be a handmaid today of the Lord? Yes, yes, yes. Amen. I don't know why the men raised their hand on that. Because there's no male or female in Christ. So you can do it. You can have the best marriage, the best family, the best anything, because that's what Jesus promised. You didn't promise it. He did. So let's have one final testimony of someone who said, hey, I got it. I see it. I was a fool, but now I'm wise. I realize now it's already been done. I just need to believe that it's done. We are complete in him. It's over. There's nothing more to be done. Just enter into what he's done. All right. God is great. God is good.